to the weight of half a dirham. Those people too will be taken out. Then Allah Rabbul Izzat will give permission that now take out from Jahannam those people who have got iman just to the weight of an atom. So those people also will be taken out from the fires of Jahannam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, the malaika have interceded. Because after these people are taken out, now everybody will be satisfied. There is no believers left in Jahannam now. Everybody is out of Jahannam. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, no. The malaika have interceded. Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam have interceded. Everybody had their turn. Everybody has interceded. Only Arhamur Rahimeen is now left. Allah Ta'ala is left. And now Allah Ta'ala will take out from Jahannam people who only brought iman. They never did even one good deed the entire life. Even one good deed the person never did his or her entire life. But the person brought iman. The person was a reciter of the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And this is the beauty of iman, that you will find a person, not to say we condone it, but you will find a person is in a drunken stupor also. He's in a drunken stupor. But if you have to meet him and he is a Muslim, he has got iman in his heart, and you talk to him something, he will tell you, you don't judge me, my iman is in my heart. Who are you to tell me? I am a Muslim. Even in his drunken stupor also, but that light of iman that is in his heart, that will show out. In his drunken state also, he will never say he is not a Muslim. He will never say he is not a Muslim, even in his drunken state. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then take out from the fires of Jahannam people whom the only thing they did was they brought iman. They never did even one good deed their entire life. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this was his fikr, this was his worry, this was his concern, that when a janaza is going, if it's a mayat of a non-Muslim, it broke his heart. That is one person I won't be able to do anything for him. He left the dunya with iman. He left the dunya without iman. If he left with iman, even iman of a very, very inferior quality, he will never spend eternity in Jahannam. If Allah Ta'ala wants, Allah Ta'ala can grant him carte blanche forgiveness and Allah Pak puts him in Jannah. There is nobody to question Allah Ta'ala's authority. And worst case scenario, the person will go to Jahannam, he'll have to pay for his sins, but ultimately, because he or she has got iman, the person will be taken out and put into the gardens of Jannah. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that I am like a person. In different hadith, different ways, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is appealing to us, he is speaking to us, trying to impress upon us his fikr, his worry, his concern. In one hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I am trying to hold you by your waist. I'm trying to hold you by your waist so that you don't go towards evil. But you are still defying. You are still pulling in that direction. In one hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that you take the example of a man who is standing near a fire and moths are coming from all directions. They are getting attracted to this fire and they are thinking that there is something, some goodness here in this fire for us. There is some warmth, but this is all an illusion. As they come close to the fire, if they come too close, they will be burnt. That will be the end, that is their destruction. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that moths are coming from all sides the moths are coming to the fire. I'm standing there and I'm trying to save these moths. Trying to save the moths, moving them away. But they are overpowering me. They're overpowering that person. They are not listening that this fire is destruction. Still going towards the fire and getting burnt. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that is like my example and your example. That I'm standing and I'm trying to save the ummah. That the ummah must not go to Jahannam. No person must leave the dunya without iman. Every person must bring iman. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam left no stone unturned. No stone unturned. Whether it was friends, whether it was family, whether it was enemies. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried his utmost that how can iman enter each person's heart. A Jewish boy, he used to come make little bit khidmat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Youngster, young person, he is not well. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam hears that this youngster is not well. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to his house, goes to visit him, and he realizes that these are the last moments of this young boy. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, recite kalima, recite the kalima, bring iman. And this young boy looks at his father. His father gives a nod of approval. Father gives a nod of approval. And the youngster recites the shahadat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is overjoyed. He has a broad smile on his face. He's walking out of the house. Sahaba radiallahu anhum are with him. And he's telling Sahaba radiallahu anhum, this person got saved from the fire of Jahannam. He is saved from the fire of Jahannam. If we have to come out of the masjid and forget a human being, forget a human being. If there is a dog, which is an animal that is impure, we are discouraged from keeping them. We are not allowed to keep them as pets. And there is a dog that isn't anybody's pet also. It's a stray dog. And this dog is burning outside. It has caught on fire and it is burning. What will happen to us if we see that dog? Won't our hearts go out for this dog also? That this dog is burning, it's squealing, it's screaming, it's burning. If that is the case with that dog, then how are we going to be able to stomach knowing that fellow human beings are going to the fire of Jahannam, family members going to the fire of Jahannam, friends going to the fire of Jahannam? The reason why it doesn't stir us, it doesn't cause a stir, when our young son, who is 15, 16, 17 years old, he is baligh, he is in the house, we're waking up for Fajr Salah, we're going to read namaz, and he is sleeping. What allows us to leave the house without him? What allows us to leave the house without him? If he is sleeping like that and he misses this Fajr namaz, then according to the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if he makes qaza of this namaz, he is going to spend one hukab in the fire of Jahannam. A period of 80 years and the years of the akhirat are different from our years. So what allows us to leave the house while that youngster, that son, our own flesh and blood, is sleeping there? He's not going to read his Fajr namaz. How come we can leave and go and sit in the masjid and be totally calm and peaceful about the whole thing and come back home and he's still sleeping? How does the tea go down at the time of Fajr, knowing that my son never read Fajr namaz? How come? Because we don't have yaqeen. We don't have yaqeen on the akhirat. We don't have yaqeen on Jannat Jahannam. We have become so used to movies, TV, fables, novels, that when we read a hadith also, then we think there's also one fable and one novel. Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, they said that when we will see Jannat and Jahannam, it won't be any more amazing to us than how we realized it here in the dunya. In other words, the yaqeen that it exists. Obviously nobody can imagine what Jannat is like. But the yaqeen that it exists, it won't be a shocker to them because they had yaqeen. We have brought iman, we haven't brought yaqeen. This is the difference. What is the difference between iman and yaqeen? We hear these terms all the time, iman and yaqeen. But to build our iman, build our yaqeen. What is the difference? One principal of a Darul Uloom, he was going towards the madrasa and his student came to carry his kitabs for him. May khidmat of the ustad, came to carry his kitabs for him. So as they were walking, student's work is to ask questions. So the student asked the principal or his ustad, he said, Hazrat, what is the difference between iman and yaqeen? So the ustad didn't say anything, he kept quiet for a while. After some time he asked the student, he said, bhai, tell me, how many steps is it from here to the door of the Darul Uloom? The student looked at the distance, say plus minus about 300 steps. Say, can you put your neck on the block that it's 300 steps? You know, plus minus, I mean, I can't be held to it. Plus minus 300 steps, it may be 280, maybe 270, maybe 320, but plus minus looks like 300 steps. So the ustad said, alright, take, carried on walking. When they reached the door of the Darul Uloom, so the ustad held the student, said, bhai, tell me, how many steps from here to the Darul Uloom? Said, do. It's two steps now. It is one step, two step, we there. Say, bhai, can you stake your life on it that it's two steps? Say, ji ha. You ready to stake your life? Ji, see, you can see it. Two steps. So then the Prince Ustad told him, bhai, this is the difference between iman and yaqeen. That time when I asked you, you never had yaqeen. You couldn't stake your life on it. Now you got yaqeen. The test of iman is to bring iman bil ghaib. Here you seeing with your eyes. So now you got yaqeen, there is only two steps. But the test in iman is to bring iman bil ghaib, to bring yaqeen despite not seeing. But that is the difference between iman and yaqeen. Where does it manifest itself? Where does it manifest itself? It manifests itself at the time of Zuhr Salah. Now in winter at the time of Asr Salah. When Asr Azan is going to be given and it is in the peak time of business. Now it will manifest itself. That do I have yaqeen on the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that if I go to read my salah with jamaat five times a day, Allah Ta'ala will take care of my rizq. Or did I just read it, I just heard it, but by the customers are here, I need to make money. My asr, I'll make it qaza later on, or I'll read it at home, last minute, like how a hen pecks on grain. When there's a couple minutes left for sunset, then I'll read that asr namaz. This is the difference between iman and yaqeen. Sahaba radiallahu anhum had yaqeen. This is why if a sahabi heard azan and he was a locksmith, if that hammer was up, it never even reached the steel. If the hammer was up, it got dropped there. Azan has gone. My Allah is calling me. I got to go for salah. My Allah will take care of my rizq. This is where it will manifest itself. In our lives. Not in the kitabs. So we have brought iman. We are believers. And this is a great boon. But with this iman has to come yaqeen. We have to have conviction that everything that our Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, everything that our Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, all their ahkam, positive and negative, our najat, our falah, is in that. So this work of tabligh, these terminologies we have given, in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was no terminologies. There wasn't even terminologies given to different subject matters. There was no subject called tafsir or hadith or fiqh. Everything was deen-e-Islam. But out of zarurat, out of necessity, Islam was spreading at such a rapid state, they needed to now have subjects. Non-Arabic speaking people were entering the fold. They needed to have specialized people to teach them, etc. Different people specialized in different fields. So they had to give names to the different subject matters. And then slowly our weakness came about that the different branches of deen also we gave it different names. So those people who are engaged in calling others towards deen, we call them the tabligh jamaat. Those people who went to a darul uloom to study, we call them the students. They are the students. And those people who went to the khanqa to make their islah and reformation, so we say they are the murids, they are the sufis, they are the saliqin. We gave terminologies to everything. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every Muslim was a sahabi. Whether he was gone in jihad, whether he was sitting on the suffa and he was studying, whatever he was doing, he was a sahabi. There was just one term. Everybody was sahaba, radiallahu anhu. So going to study deen, this is also an instruction. Allah Pa gave this instruction in the Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala, first ayat kareema ever revealed, Iqra, read, go and study. And wherever ilm is mentioned in the Quran Sharif, then it is ilm deen, not dunyavi ilm. It is ilm deen that is being referred to. In Quran Sharif and Hadith Sharif, when the word ilm comes, knowledge comes, then it is referring to ilm deen. All different aspects of ilm deen. So this is a hukam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given in the Quran Sharif, that we have to study his deen. So the different madaris, the different darul ulooms, etc. that are established, different classes that are established, it is also established in conforming with a hukam, a command that comes in the Quran Sharif. Asatiza that are teaching there, principles that are the principles of those institutes, it is all in conforming with this ayat kareema. Then when it comes to what we call our khankas, where tazkiyah is taking place, people go for a reformation, people are becoming bayat, etc. Then this too is a command in the Quran Sharif. Qad aflaha man tazakka, qad aflaha man zakkaha, wa qad khaba man dassaha. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهِ. This bay'at is mentioned in the Quran Sharif. Tazkiyah is mentioned in the Quran Sharif. This is also mentioned in the Quran Sharif. So those places where that is taking place is also in conforming with an ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Pak's hukam that comes in the Quran Sharif. And this effort of da'wat and tabligh, everywhere, so many places in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala is saying, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر. So this is also in conforming with an ayat of the Quran Sharif. The mistake that we are making is we are differentiating between these works. And wherever we create a division, we bring weakness in the ummah. In today's zamana, ilm that is being offered in the darul ulooms is a place where pure ilm of deen will be acquired. If a person is to go out in jamaat and he follows the usools of jamaat, then pure deen will be practiced upon. And if he has to go to a khanka where there is a proper Sheikh Kamil, not a bogus Peer Sahib who is there, pet ka masla or wallet ka masla, a person who is really a Sheikh Kamil, then pure Islam will take place. And all these three things, the objective is one, I'la'i kalimatillah. However, the usools of each work is different. The usools of each work is different. Now, because the usool is different, why must we differentiate? The objective is the same. I'la'i kalimatillah. Now, in a darul ulum, the way is different. The usool is different. There you got a principal, everybody is answerable to him. There is a syllabus that has to be followed. Different kitabs will be studied. You'll have periods for this, periods for that. And that must continue in that manner. For there to be faida and benefit, it has to continue in that manner. Those students must not be troubled in their time of studies. The khanka people cannot go by the students and tell them, no, you come and sit down here in the khanka. Because if you don't come to the khanka, what are you going to study? You'll have no ikhlas in your studies, you got no akhlaq, nothing. No. In his study time, in his student time, he must immerse himself into his kitabs and he must study well and he must become a great scholar of deen. That is what he must do at that time. Those asatiza that are teaching there, they must give their full, when it is madrasa time, they must give their full to those students, dedicated to those students. A teacher mustn't stay absent one day from madrasa. The students are an amanat to him. He must teach them properly. They have come to him to learn. He must teach them properly. Then the students can't go to the khanka and tell those people, what are you wasting time here? You're just making zikr and you're worried about your heart and all that. The ummah is all dying without iman. What are you going to sit and do here? No. That work will have to carry on how that work is carrying on. It will have to carry on like that. And da'wat and tabligh, nobody can come and tell a person, what are you wasting your time going 40 days, 4 months, 1 year? You are just wasting your time. When is your Islam going to come right? So you come and sit down there. Or when are you going to learn? Go and sit down in the darul ulum. No. Each work is proved from Quran Sharif. Each work is a hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each work must be complemented. Each person must make dua for each work.